relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You are listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Mr. De Leon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It would be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Indivisible, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What is indivisible? I mean, I'm not good at math, but I know that indivisible isn't a word.
I know somebody who might be able to help us answer that question. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, and she is the host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show on AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. We call her Jen. Follow her at Jennifer Horn. Jennifer, what was that?
That was City Councilman, newly installed Kevin De Leon, who was attempting to get through the Pledge of Allegiance. And I don't know,
Where is this? Where, councilman for where?
For Los Angeles, Los Angeles City Councilman. I'll tell you, he just got sworn in this past year. There was a special election because the person who held that seat, so it must be something about the seat, was Jose Huizar, who I know we've talked about on this program before, who was taking money like in paper sacks to give people building permits around Southern California. He's in a little bit of legal trouble right now, so he had to vacate his seat. Kevin De Leon swoops right in. He's a career politician with big ambitions. And here's the deal. Litmus test, maybe, before you take office, that you can at least recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the country that you are swearing in to serve. Maybe that might be just like, I don't know, a box we check before these people get on the city council.
I had to take an exam to become an American. You know that, right?
I know, right? I mean, to become a citizen, you have to take an exam. This guy, who was, I believe he was born here, but he's still, I mean, come on. The Pledge of Allegiance, I know there's stage fright. We've all had it where you go, oh, gosh, am I going to forget the words? But you can hear he knows how bad he's crashing. He goes, oh, boy.
But you don't, even when you got stage fright, you don't make words up unless you don't know the pledge. Undivisible? Right. It's not a word, you cretin!
And he's the one who ran against Dianne Feinstein. You know, I tell you all the time in California, we have a jungle primary. So we don't have a Republican and a Democrat going on to the general. He ran against Dianne Feinstein in the primary. And because they were the two top vote getters, he faced off against Dianne Feinstein. And I'm telling you, he made Dianne Feinstein look so darn moderate. This is a guy who wants single-payer health care. He is all about figuring out affirmative action and equity instead of equality. And I actually had him in. I tried to interview him one day. I think I had to ask him to leave early because he just wasn't making a lot of sense. But I hear he wants to be mayor now. Garcetti is on his way out, and apparently Kevin De Leon is hanging out at the city council so he can go on to become the mayor of L.A.
Best tweet in reaction to a councilman from Los Angeles being incapable of actually knowing by heart the Pledge of Allegiance was the following. I really hope he was hammered.
I know, isn't that great?
Okay. I want to play for you a better example of what to do at a local government hearing.
Okay.
This is fresh. It's viral already. It's from the Commonwealth of Virginia. And it's the local school board. And it's about whether or not the elected officials are doing their job. And it's a local father. This is Video Cut 3, Play Cuts.
You should all be fired from your day jobs, because if your employers knew that you were more inefficient than the DMV, you would be replaced in a heartbeat. I literally just finished a conference call because I'm having to multitask to be here to address you guys. You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you're some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making, when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a line of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out. It's not a high bar. Raise the freaking bar.
Did you hear any of that?
I sure did, and I heard it. I actually saw it this morning and was just taken with his passion. I understand how angry he is, because he is giving voice to so many parents who are watching their kids withdraw, get depressed, turn to devices instead of personal interaction because they're stuck at home. It's happening in California, said the governor, who is under tremendous political pressure from a recall, which is up to 1.4 million signatures.
So you only need 100,000 left, right?
Yeah, they want to get to 1.5. Now, you want to go over that amount because there are going to be a lot of signatures they're going to argue about and throw out. So they want to get to 1.8 million.
So what does that mean? What does that mean? If they get 1.8, what happens next, Jennifer?
Well, it's going to go on the ballot, and Gavin Newsom is going to be recalled. And so because of that political pressure, along with a couple of assemblymen from here in Northern California, he's got some lawsuits that he has to answer for, like from the Restaurant and Winery Association, these two congressmen. I think we talked about them as well. Gallagher and Kiley sued Gavin Newsom and actually got a ruling from the judge that said he had gone overboard with his, it was an excessive use of power. And that is something I thought that actually could have been used during the fight about the election, the presidential election, because one of the things that the judge found Gavin Newsom guilty on is that he changed election laws without approval of the state legislature here in California because of COVID. And there's precedent set in California that could have been used, I would imagine, in places like Pennsylvania, where the same thing happened, where it was a unilateral decision instead of one that was voted on by legislature. So Gavin Newsom has problems, and now the parents in California sound just like this guy in Virginia. They're fired up. They want their kids back in school. The unions are trying to keep the school shut down as like a bargaining chip, and there's no science now that says it's closing down the schools is helping with stop the spread of COVID. I mean, the CDC just released a report yesterday and a study they did in Wisconsin that said there's very little risk in opening the schools when you use social distancing and you put a mask on the kids. In fact, in their study of over 4,000 people, I think it was like seven kids who got COVID, but then they quarantined out and they were fine. Not one staffer came down with COVID in that study. It's time to open up the schools, whether it's in California because of the tremendous political pressure that's going on here, or it's in Virginia where this poor man knows what's going on. I mean, look at Las Vegas. They've had to reopen the schools quickly because the suicide rate in Las Vegas is skyrocketing.
18 suicides in
one
school district.
It's ridiculous. People are dying because of these stupid, arbitrary decisions that are not based on anything other than someone's decision that they don't want to go back to work.
And is it true, I may be mixing this up with another recall petition, is it true that the signatures have to be done in person? You can't mail it in, so it has to be verified?
In California, you can mail in the petition. And they actually were able to get an extension because of COVID, because a judge ruled in their favor. So they have until the middle of March, March 17th, actually, to complete getting all the signatures in. And you can print it out. You can go to Recall Gavin 2020, and you can actually print out the petition.
And then who collects it?
You mail it. You can mail it in. So they've made it pretty easy. Again, it's because of COVID. So you print out the petition, you sign it, you mail it back, but they're going to be scrutinizing every signature. So you can't sign outside the line. Your signature has to match what they have on file at the DMV, because there is no doubt in my mind that Gavin Newsom's lawyers are going to be standing over and arguing every signature it comes through.
Hang on. So it's not like in Virginia where the governor said, for the election, you don't have to check signatures against
No.
What?
California is big into signature matching when it comes to a recall. For a presidential election, when a certain Donald Trump is on the ballot, we don't need to check signatures. But for a recall, when Governor Newsom's on the ballot, they are going to be checking every single signature for not only make sure it matches the DMV database, but to make sure that you don't have duplicates and triplicates, because there are a lot of people who have signed multiple recall attempts, because there have been like six already against Gavin Newsom. This is just the one that's the most successful, and it seems to really, I mean, they're almost there. I can't believe it. This one has actually been well organized, a lot of money, and this is something that is important to the rest of the country, because it will send a message. If you are a disgruntled Republican or a disgruntled Trump voter right now, know that in California, which you may think is a lost cause, if we can get a recall on a very far left Governor Newsom, who was supposed to be appointed vice president by Kamala Harris when Joe Biden out on us. This, I'm telling you, is going to send a message.
It's big, guys. Pay attention to California and listen to Jennifer every day and follow her at Jennifer Horn on Twitter. This is America First.
I know everyone here will soon march to the Capitol to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Peacefully and patriotically, hardly words of violence. But what of Democrat words? What of Democrat incitement to violence? No Democrat will honestly ask whether Bernie Sanders incited the shooter that nearly killed Steve Scalise and volunteer coach. The shooter nearly pulled off a massacre. I was there because he fervently believed the false and inflammatory rhetoric spewed by Bernie and other Democrats, such as the Republican health care plan for the uninsured is that you die. As this avowed Bernie supporter shot Steve Scalise, nearly killing him, and shot one of our coaches and two or three of our staff, he screamed, "This is for health care. Ask me or anyone if that's incitement." No Democrat will ask whether Cory Booker incited violence when he called for his supporters to get up in their face of congresspeople, a very visual and specific incitement. No Democrat will ask whether Maxine Waters incited violence when she literally told her supporters, and I quote, that if you see a member of the Trump administration at a restaurant, at a department store, at a gas station, or any place, you create a crowd and you push back on them. Is that not incitement?
That was Rand Paul giving a speech before he proposed that the trial, the Senate trial of a former president, is unconstitutional. A vote during which five congressmen and women, five senators, excuse me, voted that they should try Donald Trump. Let me make sure that you know who these individuals are if you missed the news. These individuals are, of course, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Ben Sasse, Pat Toomey, and Susan Collins. When I see things like that, Jennifer Horn, I've had it with the GOP. What about you?
Oh, 100%. I mean, these, I didn't even have to read the newspaper this morning to know who the feckless fivesome would be, because we know these guys. I mean, it, to me, may have been a surprise, but Ben Sasse, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, These are the ones that are always, right, always the ones that don't have the backbone or the spine to stand up for what is right. There is no question, if you read the Constitution, that there is any precedent for this impeachment. Sham, first of all, snap impeachment, sham trial that is going to take place.
Right.
It already feels like a kangaroo court because you've got Pat Leahy, who, if he can make it, I mean, the guy is sick. He had to go to the hospital yesterday. Is going to be, he promises to be impartial, so I'm sure we can trust him. But he's going to be overseeing this. Is he going to be voting as well? Because that seems like a conflict of interest to me. But I don't know. I mean, I think when we talk about being sick of it as a Republican, I saw that you were starting a new hashtag, new GOP. And
yes,
that is what we have to focus on. I know we spoke last week, and I think we stand on the same side, kind of shoulder to shoulder, in the fact that a third party is not an option. We need to start primarying out these Republicans,
right,
who have disappointed us, who have forgotten why they got elected, and that is to stand up for what is right and the way of the and the wishes of the American people. Look, do you really think that Susan Collins wants to set precedents that now we can go after and impeach Barack Obama for Benghazi?
Or Jimmy Carter. For Iran.
Can we go after George W. Bush for Iraq and for Afghanistan? Can we go after George Washington for owning slaves? I mean, let's just start this great precedent in this country where we just decide that no matter who our opponent is, we're going to go after them and we're going to impeach them. I mean, it is the most ridiculous thing that I have ever seen. It is unconstitutional. Democrats are doing it to make a point, and Republicans who have joined the Democrats are doing it because they're scared. They're scared of what Trump and MAGA has brought to the Republican Party. They want the old days of the swamp. That's where they're comfortable functioning, and they don't want to have to deal with the fact that you make a promise and you deliver on it, which is what President Trump did for the 4 years he was in office.
And why did MAGA happen? If you'll indulge me, I want to do this with you, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a letter that is going around Facebook from a Keystone Pipeliner, and it's a letter to Joe Biden, and I want to read it in front of you.
Okay.
Today is a heavy day. It's hard to believe something I love so much can be taken away by people that have no idea exactly how I make a living. They have no idea the pain and misery and sacrifice that comes with this job. This job kept me from becoming a dirtbag like a lot of the lower-class kids I grew up with. This job kept me off drugs and out of jail. This job moved me out of the slums. This job gave me a below-average simple man that started with nothing but bad credit and a dirtbox truck the ability to rise above a lot of my peers. All I had to do is to put in my time and give it my best. I worked hard to get where I am at. Every damn bit of it. You work 7 to 12s no matter the weather. You miss holidays, ball games. It's not about the money. It's the feeling you get when you and your buds are wringing wet, covered in mud, after a 16-hour shift doing a tie-in. Mr. President, how dare you take that away from me? You, a man who has done nothing but live off my tax dollars. How dare you sail all of us out? How dare you shut down whole communities and make us dependent on foreign oil again? How dare you take food from my family's mouth? How dare you, sir? Isn't that what it's about, Jennifer Horn?
It's absolutely about that. And you know what? The most despicable, disgusting answer that I heard from Joe Biden, John Kerry, is that the people who are losing their jobs with the Keystone Pipeline and others need to just find a new job.
Yeah, they'll get another. Just find another job.
You just do something else. Well, get into solar. I mean, that is an unacceptable answer. And you know what is laughable? Is that they're doing this to try to appease the far left, who has no idea that canceling the Keystone Pipeline is not going to help the environment one bit. Because guess what? The drilling is going to continue. The oil is just going to go somewhere else. So congratulations. America is no longer energy independent. That makes us weak, weaker than we were. We've lost thousands of jobs, billions of dollars in payroll revenue, and the air is going to be the same. The earth and planet all going to be the same, and actually worse, because now you're going to be trucking
stuff
around.
You're going to be trucking it. And guess who's going to be making more money? Russia, Venezuela, and Iran.
That's exactly right, and it's so ridiculous. And I was watching Lurch John Kerry today, and I was watching, you know, all of these climate policies that Joe Biden is rolling out. And I can tell you right now, the reason I've always believed this, Joe Biden was a vessel. He was the one that the DNC thought that they could get elected,
yep.
And they made deals with everybody. It's not by mistake that he's rubbing Bernie's back and giving out, talking about a $15 hour minimum wage when businesses are already suffering in this country. It's not a mistake that he's doing all of this climate policy today. And I believe that that Green New Deal, the one that'll appease AOC and the left, that's coming a lot sooner than you think. He may have played coy and said, oh, I don't know if I like everything in that Green New Deal. It's coming. They're going to control everything about your life. And that's why it is important that we fight and we stay focused. And by fight, I don't mean the physical kind. I mean the kind where we go and actually work together. And here's the deal. For those of you thinking about that third party, have you ever heard President Trump say that he was going to start a third party?
Hashtag new GOP. And thank you to the person who just texted me. I have my WinRed account ready to donate to Dr. G for governor. God bless you. Keep doing what you do. She's Jennifer Horn. This is America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
You know, for me, it's not about what my colleagues in Congress have to say. It's about the American people. It's about 75 million Trump voters that the majority of them know the election was stolen.
That's what got us in trouble. A congresswoman on our show saying that a large chunk of the U.S. population thinks there were problems with the last election. That got us suspended on YouTube. And we've got a very special guest who can help us understand how that happened. I appreciate the Level 42 bumper music because he was born in the U.K. I think he's a little younger than Level 42. He is the senior technology correspondent at Breitbart News. He's author of Hashtag Deleted, Alan Bukhari. Welcome to America First.
Hi, Seb. Great to be on. I mean, that story you were just telling us about being suspended from YouTube for even slightly questioning the fairness of the last election is something that's been going on for past 2 months. And tens of thousands of Trump supporters have been just purged from social media platforms over this.
Yeah, I lost 100,000 followers since January the 20th, and the biggest 9,000 on Sunday night just, boom, just kind of disappeared. I'm sure they're all bots, and I'm sure that lots of left-wing Twitter accounts are losing, hemorrhaging followers left, right, and center. But seriously, let's talk about this amazing work. It's called Hashtag Deleted, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election. You broke the amazing Google tape story 3 years ago, this inside record of top executives trying to nix the Trump movement. Explain to us, first things first, I'm not a tech guy. I'm a social media addict, but I don't know anything about tech. Don't ask me to, you know, I'll never be able to get a job if I have to write code. But we hear this excuse all the time from Rasputin, Dorsey himself, and others. Oh, well, no, it's just algorithms. What are these bloody algorithms? Can you explain to us, is this just boilerplate for, well, we just get rid of you when we don't like you?
Well, the algorithm thing is interesting because I like to compare it to a Chinese-style social credit system. Because just in the same way that in China, you have a system where your everyday behavior, your speech is judged by a vast system of surveillance, which then assigns you a score in the system. It's a similar system with Silicon Valley's algorithms. So if you're using Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or Google, for that matter, you're assigned a score, and that determines where you're going to appear in the search rankings, where you're going to appear in Twitter feeds or Facebook feeds or YouTube feeds, or whether you're going to banned altogether. And it used to be the case that what determined that score would be, like, you know, fairly objective criteria, like, you know, are you posting viruses or malware or spam or other, objectively bad content. But now it's more about, are you posting misinformation or hate speech or fake news or all these arbitrary concepts.
Is this what you refer to as the quality rating?
That's quality rating, and all tech platforms have some version of this. It's how their algorithms understand all the content that's flowing through their platforms.
Okay, I have to ask you this. We've got a couple of minutes left in this segment. A good friend of mine, she hasn't given me permission to disclose her name, has just had her YouTube channel demonetized because of 5 videos YouTube complained about. And one of them, was an interview with a pro-democracy demonstrator related to the events in Hong Kong. What interest is there? I get they hate Trump and they hate MAGA, but to attack somebody's channel because somebody wants democracy in China? Have you heard of that before?
Well, that's extraordinary. Well, actually, just today, there's news that the Epoch Times has been demonetized on YouTube as well. And they're, you know, one of the leading critics of Chinese communism today. So it's quite extraordinary. Obviously, YouTube is owned by Google. Google, a few years ago, we know, wanted to work with the Chinese Communist Party to develop a censored search app. So this is a very disturbing development.
All right. Well, I'll talk to that lady. I'll request her permission to connect you guys, because knowing you, you'll get on the case immediately and find out what's really going on. He is senior technology correspondent for the most influential conservative news site on the planet. That is an empirical statement. You look on their engagements on Facebook, compare it to legacy media, and it's just a fact. You can follow him at Libertarian Blue on Twitter, at least for the time being. And the book is #deleted, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election. We've been saying it for a while here. We need a conservative ecosystem for communications, for social media, for storage of data. Begin with your phone. Don't go with the big phone providers that are in bed with left-wing causes. If you're with one of the big cell phone companies, guess what? At the end of the month, when you pay your bill, they fund things like Planned Parenthood. They make donations to Democrat candidates and to anti-First and Second Amendment causes. Join the good guys. Join Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America, rated #1 in customer service because they are just that good. Now with even stronger expanded coverage, nationwide 4G LTE. If you use my name, you'll get the best discounts, and first responders and veterans pay even less. Go today to patriotmobile.com/GORKA or call their US-based team on 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. At the end of the month, guess what they do? They contribute to conservative causes such as the sanctity of life, such as the First Amendment and Second Amendment organizations. Don't fund those who hate what you stand for. Join the good guys today like we have here at America First. It's 972-PATRIOT. You can keep your old number. Go today. Join the good guys. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA.
The broad reach of any 20, 50, 100-year period, there's less death, life expectancy goes up, people are doing better, more prosperous, the arc does go like this exponentially in terms of standards of living around the world. Yes, it's not completely smooth, it goes up and down, and I think history teaches us that there are periods of populism, of nationalism that rise up, and that's all the reason we need to be in the arena. That's why we have to work so hard to make sure it doesn't turn into a world war or something catastrophic, but instead is a blip, is it?
Is a blip. The MAGA populism, the national, the economic nationalism must be a blip. That is from the exclusive Google tape from our friend Alan Bakari, senior technology correspondent at Breitbart News, who got access to that internal discussion where, you know, we're just neutral. We're just a search engine, guys. But MAGA, gotta destroy that. Welcome back, Alan. Follow him right now at Libertarian View Blue on Twitter and get his new... This is the gospel of what they're trying to do right now to all of us if you're a conservative. It's called hashtag deleted, big tech's battle to erase the Trump movement and steal the election. Now, let's take this to the next level, Alan. This is, you know, we're talking about social media, we're talking about people getting demonetized, unpersoned, like the president with his 89 million followers on Twitter. But let me read to you this release today from the Department of Homeland Security. We've discussed it already on the show. Just one sentence. Information suggests that some ideologically motivated violent extremists with objections to the exercise of governmental authority and presidential transition, as well as other perceived grievances fueled by false narratives, could continue to mobilize or incite or commit violence. Are they declaring war on conservatives in the Biden administration? Is this something they're doing hand in glove with big tech?
I think this is going to be the story of the next 4 years, certainly the next 2 years, while they have the Senate, the House, and the White House. We're going to see, it's really quite terrifying. We're going to see big tech power, corporate power, merging with the power of the federal government. The Biden administration is going to use the power of the federal government, that already threatening Section 230 reform, as a cudgel to beat the tech companies into doing even more censorship. You know, all the censorship we've seen over the past few months, over the past year, that big tech has been doing to suppress the Trump movement. That hasn't been enough for Biden. It hasn't been enough for the Democrats and the mainstream media. They want even more of it.
So what's the answer? We are in minority. Some people say, well, build it and they will come. But it only cost a few billion bucks to create a massive Google competitor. Is there anything that you are recommending to people who are concerned about the future? What is the way ahead? You can't have a monopoly breakup if the people who are in bed with Silicon Valley now run all the arms of government.
Exactly. It's a really difficult situation for the ordinary American consumer to be in, because all the institutions that are meant to protect them from runaway corporate interests, like what we see in Silicon Valley, they're all working together. They're part of one big club. So it actually might come down to conservatives just building their own networks. But we've seen this with Parler. The difficulty is you can't just build your own social network. You need to build your own web hosting company. You need to build your own DNS, your web address. You need to build your own everything, your own internet, in a way. And it's been really frustrating over the past 4 years while Republicans held some power. We had, you know, leak after leak exposing these tech companies. I published so many of them over at Breitbart News. But you can publish all the evidence you want. It doesn't make a difference if people in power won't do anything about it. And that's been the story, I think, politicians' response to Silicon Valley. They either want more censorship or they're just sitting on their hands.
Well, can you give us some advice? Because we have millions of listeners and also viewers on our various platforms. Not YouTube right now, and I'm glad, because we couldn't talk about questioning the election if we were on YouTube, but check us out on Rumble right now. Don't give away any trade secrets, but what do you do? How do you protect yourself? How do you make sure that you're not being undermined? Is it just a question of using a VPN? Or what is Alan, the expert, advise to millions of Americans who are concerned about big tech?
Well, I would certainly get on all the alternative platforms. You mentioned one of them, Rumble. It's a great place to host your videos. There's also BitChute. There's also Gab.com, which is an alternative to Twitter. There's quite a few of these alternative tech platforms springing up now, and I think we're going to see more of them over the next year being created, because there's a huge market for them. The other thing that a lot of people I know that I do as well on Twitter is delete all your old posts, because, you know, past a certain date, because leftist activists are going to go through your posts and find anything that might violate the rules and report them. So if you keep your presence transient, it's much harder for them to do that. So that's a nice little trick on the established platforms that you can do. As far as privacy goes, VPNs are a great idea. That's a good shout there.
Good. Excellent. So delete your old posts, even if they're true, especially if they're true, because those are the ones that are going to get you in trouble. In the meantime, what do you expect in the foreseeable future? You think this is going to be the big story, criminalizing conservatism, especially on social media? Is this going to create a political pressure that could change something for conservatives in terms of the establishment? Or is it just going to be another turn of the screw, Alan?
Well, they're certainly trying to make it another turn of the screw, but I think Republican politicians are starting to realize this needs to be a top issue for them. And I think Republicans who are weak on this issue in 2022 are going to face the wrath of primary voters. The other interesting development is what's happening internationally. You look at foreign countries, you know, as varied as Germany, France, Poland, Hungary. These are governments whose ruling parties have very little in common with each other politically, but they're all concerned by what they've seen with the censorship of Donald Trump. They don't like the idea of a bunch of Silicon Valley companies being able to censor world leaders. So I think you're going to see an international backlash against the power, the political power, especially of these Silicon Valley giants.
Yeah, truly remarkable that after the president was unpersoned on Twitter, you had countries such as France, Mexico, and Germany, not exactly massive Trump fans, talk out and say that this is wrong. And the latest legislation, Alan's right, the latest legislation coming out of Poland is fascinating in terms of being able to sue social media companies if they try and do it to you. In the meantime, learn. Check out this fabulous new book. It's Hashtag Deleted, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election. And follow the senior technology correspondent for Breitbart at Libertarian Blue. God bless you, Alan. Can't wait to have you in studio for a longer discussion. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting to you from just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, if you are in daily pain and have found no relief, you must try this 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included. Just listen to Alicia from California. I am a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. Wow, that could be you. Find out so easily by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It costs just $19.95, the paltry sum of less than a dollar a day. You can call them on 800-500-8384. It will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if Relief Factor works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. Do it now. You know it makes sense.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
We were chatting after Alum got off the video there. Two things. Number one, when it comes to big tech censorship, state action. You look at what Texas is doing with the illegal executive orders coming out of the Biden administration. Imagine if states get involved in taking on the fascistic tendencies of places like YouTube, Google, Twitter, and Facebook. Yes, indeed. And second, let's just do the numbers. This is a request. This is a plea. This is a cri de coeur for people out there. Even if you're just a, you know, relatively small, medium-sized businessman, think of what has just happened in this nation in the last 3 months. 75 million Americans voted for the president. A large proportion think that there was something very wrong with the last election, with 80 million unbidden mail-in ballots sent out under jurisdictions where illegally governors and state secretaries had decreed outrageous things, such as the lack of a requirement to compare the signatures on incoming ballots against the actual signatures on the voter rolls. That means that there is a huge market of potentially disenfranchised individuals with real grievances for big tech. And imagine if one provider, could be an established one, could be one of the conservative media outlets out there already, TV, radio, you know the names, or just a tech company that says, okay, I'm going to cater to these people who don't want to be unpersoned, deleted, demonetized, or attacked, or have their personal information harvested from their Gmail accounts and used against them to target them with advertising. Imagine if one company stepped up to the plate, had the requisite conservative investors, and created one platform where you would get all-in-one service, social media platform, a true one, without censorship, email that wouldn't be used to harvest information from you, and then news on one site, podcast, video, you name it. Imagine if one entity or a conglomeration came together and said, we're going to do it for you, America, because we believe in the First Amendment. There's only, I don't know, maybe 50 million people who'd say yes straight away. This is America. If we can't do it here, we can't do it anywhere. Build it and they will come. Come on, we can do this. What an opportunity. I'm excited. So should you be. In the meantime, remember, they want to provoke you. Don't let them. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give in. And now more than ever, my friend, stay frosty.